Take a look at the voting laws in your state. You will quickly realize how a fine-tooth comb has been applied to the voting process. The obvious goal is to ensure that the voting process remains legitimate and accurate. Still, there are times when people try to use those laws for an unfair political purpose. My next guest joins us. Take a look at examples of both of these concepts. He's the executive director of the Honest Elections Project, Jason Snead. How are you today, Jason?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the program.
And learn more about not just what we're talking about here with Jason, but the work of the Honest Elections Project. It is honestelections.org. And we're going to focus, Jason, on two states specifically. Arizona, we'll start with, then we'll move over to Pennsylvania. As I said, these serve as two opposite examples of what voting laws allow and try to prevent. And in Arizona, this, for the person listening, this is probably going to have instant recognition to it. This was the case where around the ballot drop boxes, there were people stationed there, self-appointed poll watchers. Only I never really saw poll watchers come with dogs and guns and masks. That seemed to be out of the norm and didn't seem like they were really trying to avoid attention. And they certainly got it, didn't they?
They certainly did. Look, what was going on in Arizona, based on the facts that were alleged, was clearly unacceptable. I mean, I want to say at the outset that it is very important that you have true poll observers for transparency of the process. But what you do not want to have are exactly as you said, you know, self-appointed folks who are armed and trying to talk to voters as they are returning ballots, going up to them, even following them in some cases in cars after they dropped a mail ballot off at a drop box. You just don't want to do that. There are lines that you should not cross. And so we actually filed an amicus brief in one of those cases out there in Arizona, pointing out that, look, no American should have to brave harassment or intimidation to cast a ballot. That just should not be the case. And we need to make sure that there are safeguards against all forms of voter intimidation, whether it is obvious, like this one, or whether it is subtle and hidden, which sometimes happens in the context of mail voting when you've got third-party folks that are collecting ballots. And that is an opportunity for intimidation and fraud as well, because there's no government monitoring or surveillance going on. And unfortunately, there are numerous cases of people that have been convicted of intimidating, coercing, or bribing voters to cast their ballots behind closed doors in particular ways. So we firmly believe that every American should be free to vote without having to face any form of intimidation.
Seen over more so in recent years, a lot of that voter intimidation happening at senior centers and nursing homes, because you get one overly active advocate for a particular political party, and well, they see where they should be caring about people. They see that as a political opportunity to advance their personal cause.
That's right. And nursing homes are especially good for this sort of thing. If you're in the market, if you will, for lots of votes in a very tightly confined space. And of course, these are also elderly, very vulnerable voters. And one of our great concerns when it comes to this collection practice, which we call vote harvesting or vote trafficking, is that it is very easy to take advantage of vulnerable voters. And so ironically enough, people that push this practice, they call it community collection, and they sort of euphemistically describe it along those lines, is that while they say that it helps vulnerable voters cast ballots, it actually, in reality, exposes the most vulnerable voters to harassment, intimidation, and even disenfranchisement, which is why we have long been on the record saying that if you need assistance, you should be able to get it, but you should get it from someone you trust. You should get it from your caregiver. You should get it from your family member, not a stranger who is there, who is being paid to win an election, and whose interest may not align with yours.
How much do you feel has conspiracies, there was that one film, 2000 Mules, for example, has empowered what we saw happen in Arizona, while at the same time it would cause people to cast doubt on when this is happening legitimately?
Well, we know from the court record that 2000 Mules certainly inspired the folks in Arizona to do what they did. And I wish that was not the case. We need to have an election system that has safeguards so that vote trafficking does not occur and we can give voters confidence that it is not occurring. And really the number one thing that we believe everyone should have in mind when they're talking about election reforms generally, whether it is about vote trafficking or voter ID or anything else, the number one thing is that you want to give voters confidence in elections. That is the key not only to ensuring legitimacy for the government that we elect, but also the key to getting folks to turn out and vote in the first instance. And that is why I think you're seeing in places like Georgia, for instance, where they passed a very good set of election reforms last year, that despite all the rhetoric about this being voter suppression and whatnot, it has given voters confidence in the process, and Georgians are turning out in record numbers. Over 2.2 million people have already cast an early ballot in Georgia, which is, if you can believe it, 23% higher than the last midterm cycle, 2018, which was also itself a very high turnout election. So I think by making it easy to vote and hard to cheat, you are giving voters confidence, and voters are responding by turning out and participating in democracy.
Talking with Jason Sneed, who is the executive director of the Honest Elections Project. HonestElections.org is their website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Moving over to Pennsylvania, Supreme Court in that state ruled that counties will not count mail-in and absentee ballots that are either undated or dated incorrectly. Instead, the ballots will be pulled out and preserved. How do you respond to someone who says this is picking quite a small nit?
Well, I think that it's important to point out that the rule of law is essential in elections. You know, I believe that everyone has a right to vote in free and fair elections, and I think that free and fair elections only take place when you actually follow the law. And here in Pennsylvania, the law is plain. It is black and white. Voters have to sign and date ballots in order for them to count. That is a very basic thing, which no one really has any major issue complying with. And it helps to stop fraud. It helps to stop illegal late balloting, which is a problem, especially when you allow for ballots to come in after election day, which is another issue in and of itself. So, you know, to folks that say that this is a minor thing, I would simply point out that it is important to preserve the rule of law, and it's important to follow the law, even when we might not like it. That is absolutely the case in elections as it is in everything else. And the real story here is that the Pennsylvania Supreme Court actually did uphold the law. It unfortunately does not have the greatest track record of doing that, but it did uphold the law here. And so I think that this is, even though it is a minor point of the law, is a major win for Pennsylvanians who will know that the rules of the road are the rules of the road and that we're sticking to them, not changing them after the fact.
In New Jersey, if you have a mail-in ballot and a problem is found with it, the state would contact the voter, either email or a phone call, to say, if you want to come in, show ID, do the signature, redo a ballot before, I think it's 6 days before election day, after election day, that a mail-in ballot would still be counted. You have that option. Do you know whether or not this is the case in Pennsylvania, whether the voter who may be sent in an undated or incorrectly dated ballot is going to be notified and given a chance to right the wrong so that the vote will count?
Well, I don't believe actually that there is a cure process for this particular issue in Pennsylvania law. Pennsylvania's law is actually fairly outdated. The election code dates back to the 1930s. And as a result of antiquated processes and practices, there are a lot of issues with the Pennsylvania elections. There's a reason that we waited several days in 2020 before Pennsylvania reported that Joe Biden had won the state and hence had won the presidency. There's a reason that we were waiting quite some time to see who was winning the primary elections earlier this year. Unfortunately, it's a bit of a theme with Pennsylvania that they're election laws have not been updated and are not keeping up with the demands of modern elections. But there was a bill that was actually introduced and passed the legislature, which would have made substantial changes to election laws, including cure processes. But it was ultimately vetoed by the governor, in part because it required voter identification when you're casting a ballot. And unfortunately, one of the things that we have seen is that even though polling overwhelmingly shows that people whether you are Republican or Democrat, whether you are black or white or Hispanic, believe that you should have to produce a photo ID to vote. Because of the partisanship that we're seeing all over the country on this issue, even good common sense policies like that will get vetoed by Democratic governors and will kind of fall into the partisanship trap, which means then that you also lose other beneficial election reforms as well, including processes that allow you to cure ballots. I do think as a general matter, having a cure process is a good idea for a state. It gives voters an opportunity to correct those minor problems. The trick is to make sure that the cure process doesn't extend, you know, multiple weeks after an election, because while we want to make sure that there is that avenue for correcting small mistakes, you also want to make sure that you are delivering prompt election results. And so that's why we believe that you should have cure processes that allow for several days after the election. You should have ballots come in by election day at the close of polls so that you can tabulate them and get results to folks as quickly as possible.
He is the executive director of the Honest Elections Project. The website is honestelections.org. Jason Sneed, thank you so much for helping us understand these cases and for being here today.
Well, thank you. This was great.